San Diego's talk radio leader, 760 KFMB presents It's Your Money and Your Life. For the next hour, Richard Muzio and Joe Vecchio will educate and inform you on matters related to your financial future, your life, and your leisure. Now, with It's Your Money and Your Life, here are Richard and Joe.
All right, everybody. My name is Joe Vecchio, your co-host, announcer, and producer, coming to you from KFMB Studios with 50,000 watts of power, not just in San Diego County, but Orange County, LA County, up the coast of Seattle on a good night, down to Cabo, out to the desert. If you download the app for 760 KFMB, you can hear this on any device as the show airs, and all these podcasts are commercial-free on iowamoney.com and on iTunes. And on time to introduce the main man of the hour. He's a CPA extraordinaire. He's an accomplished marathon runner. He's a best-selling author, a philanthropist, and a family office expert advising several high-net-worth families. Good evening, Richard. How are you tonight?
I'm great, Joe. I have survived the San Diego, formerly known as Del Mar Fair traffic. It's over.
I want to tell you.
It is over.
I went on Google Maps last night at 11 o'clock and looked at all the beach traffic, and it is a sea of red. I think it's the only night of the year where you'll see all those arteries clogged at 11 o'clock at night.
Fireworks.
Escaping from the Big Bay boom and all that. Yep. So I don't get it. But
the fair is over and I'm still alive.
I don't know what – I guess, you know, if you got kids, I don't know. You've seen – one fireworks show, you've seen them all, I suppose, but anyway.
Or if you like cinnamon buns.
Anyway, congratulations, USA, 240 years old, and the clock is still ticking on us, so that's good. Also, Richard, I don't know if you've been following the San Diego Symphony at all, but
no, I haven't.
They have improved their summer series immensely, and I had a little email exchange with Dr. Jacobs, who is a big enthusiast, as you know, and a former guest of the show. And I suggested we do a show on the symphony per se and all the growth and the progress it's made. Because as you know, many years ago, it was going bankrupt every other year.
Yep.
Until Dr. Jacobs stepped in. And, of course, it's thriving and surviving.
Well, let's do that.
Doing well. So September-ish, we'll have the CEO, Martha, on. In any case, let's not delay. We know what's coming up. Oh, by the way, I did happen to see that great walk-off home run last Saturday night.
Against the Yankees.
Melvin Upton, he crushed that first pitch. About as far as you'll see it hit in left field. There have been a couple of upper deckers, but he hit it right into that corner of the Western Metal Building where it meets the other structure. And boy, oh boy, what a thrill to end a game a 1-1. You know, it was really weird. The line score for both teams was like 1-5-0. One run, five hits all the way to that ninth inning. It was bizarre. But anyway, what a great great laser show to boot. So thank you, Gina Champion Kane, again for that. And
speaking about baseball.
Yeah, and the All-Star Game.
We've got an All-Star Game coming up in San Diego.
We certainly do, and we have a former guest with us who is a veteran major leaguer and also an accomplished artist and a Native American and a great American, and his name is Gene Locklear. Gene, welcome back to our show.
Thank you very much. Glad to be here.
You know, just for the benefit of our listeners, you know, we should find out where you're born and raised, how you even got into baseball as a Native American, and maybe a little thumbnail sketch of your career, the teams you played with, and some of your statistics. So what do you think?
Okay, born in Pembroke, North Carolina.
All right.
7/1949.
He's got a birthday coming up. That's why you mentioned that.
Yeah, so anyone out there, want to send me whatever you want to send me.
Uh-huh.
So, farmer. My dad was a farmer, small farmer, Native American neighborhood. Everyone I knew until I was 16 was Native American.
Huh.
Churches, schools, everything.
In North Carolina?
Yeah.
What tribe was this?
Lumbee, L-U-M-B-E-E, biggest tribe east of the Mississippi.
How about that?
But your tribe is interesting because you guys don't own any casinos, right?
No, we don't want to be rich. We want to be Indian.
Oh, but you own something else. You guys own a lot of something else.
Yeah, we're very educated. We understand that those casinos can turn you into bad people.
Well, you know.
So you own the place where the casino owners put their money, right?
Yeah, well.
How many banks does your tribe own?
We have 16 banks.
16 banks.
We have our own university named after Lumbee Indian in North Carolina called Pembroke. University of Pembroke of North Carolina.
Now, who knew that? So, are you the only tribe that's into banking like that?
I think so. As far as being that successful, we have a lot of very educated. We went into the education part of society, our elders in the early 20s and 30s was intelligent enough to understand that if you wanted to make a change and a change in the right way, you had to go education.
Wow. How about that? And then when did you get into baseball? As a little leaguer youngster, or when did you?
Well, no, we didn't have Little League, Babe Ruth and all that. I started playing with the adults when I was about 12, 13 years old. And and from there, high school and out of high school, I finally signed pro contract.
Right out of high school?
Not right out of high school. Actually, a year after high school, I went to a tryout camp with the Cincinnati Reds
And they signed you right then, huh?
Yeah. Well, no one scouted Indians in the area at that time. I hit 500, three perfect games and all that. But, Jim Thorpe died, a few years ago, so no one really came around our area.
So the Reds draft you at age 19-ish? And what year was that now?
I signed in 69,
really? Something like that.
You're the Miracle Mets.
Yeah.
Well, I just found out, Richard, they were the worst expansion team in almost any sport in 1962. How many games did they win?
They won 40, lost 120.
You're absolutely right.
That's right.
Boy, this
right.
guy, don't fool with this
don't,
guy.
Don't ask me two of your pursuit questions.
That was Casey Stengel. Now, was he still the manager when they won it in 69?
Gil Hodges.
Okay, they got rid of good old Casey Stengel. Yeah. We should do a show about him sometime because that guy had a bunch of gems, didn't he? But anyway, so you signed with the Reds, and give us a little thumbnail of your career. How many years did you play with the Reds?
Minor leagues. I was in the minor league system for 4 years. Mm-hmm. 1 year I was in the Army, but to minor league system 4 years. Two batting titles, MVP three times in the leagues that I played in. And then 73, I came up to the big leagues with a big red machine.
73, wow. So what was your position? Did you play?
Right field, really. And then,
they move you around a little bit?
Right field, left field, but basically right field. And really there is a difference in playing right field and left field. And then when I get to San Diego, I played left field, and there was a difference. I didn't really feel comfortable, and that became my...
The sun is a problem in right field, isn't it? It can be.
Well, some people say at night the sun can get in your eyes and have bad hops in the air and all that stuff at night, in
bad
left
hops
field.
In the air.
hit gopher holes and all that stuff. And it was known to happen to me.
You hit well over 300 when you were with the Padres.
Yeah, 321, 1975, 350 at bats. Yeah.
But Big Red Machine, let's start there, 73. And how many years were you with the Reds?
4 years in the minors and then half a year in the big machine and was traded over here for Freddie Norman. Remember Freddie Norman,
the left-hand pitcher?
Freddie was a great pitcher.
And then how many years with the Padres?
4 years.
74 to
76.
76 to 79-ish, something like that?
No, 73 to 76.
Oh, 73.
And then where'd you get that World Series ring on your finger?
That was with the 76 Yankees when I went there in June, and then the last half of the year I was there and end up with World Series.
Is that right?
Cincinnati Reds beat us four games straight. But we won the next year, if you remember, against the Dodgers. We beat the Dodgers next year, 77.
So then you went to the Yankees for a year, and then where after that?
Went to Japan for a year. Uh-huh. I had a three-year contract, only stayed 1 year, and after the 1 year came back, I went and I went to spring training with Cincinnati Reds.
Okay.
I didn't make the team north, so they wanted me to stay on. And actually, they offered me a lot of money to stay on because in case something happened, all that. But I had decided it was time to move on and start a new career.
And, of course, you had some fun with Buzzy Bavasi when you were here, too, right?
I sure did.
But I don't know if we have time to get in. We're going to come up on our break in a few seconds here. Why don't we take our break now, then, Justin? How about fire up some music? We'll be back with veteran Major League Baseball player Gene Locklear and great artist right after this. Hang on. We are back with Major League Baseball veteran Gene Locklear. That's a real chorus there. It's not just a band, for God's sake. Where'd you get that, Justin? Who is that? Is that the Boston Pops Orchestra?
Kansas City Symphony. Yeah.
All right. Okay. Well, in honor of them winning the World Series last year, right? A lot of people, you know, a lot of people forget who even won it last year. It was
it's the Royals.
You have to look it up. But
yeah, using a bunch of starting pitchers who used to pitch for the Padres.
Anyway, we've got the All-Star Game, the Summer Classic coming upon us. First time in 25 years. It's been in San Diego.
But
right?
Gene, by the way, is the official artist of the 2016 Major
and
League All-Star
what does
All-Star
that mean?
Game.
What are your duties and responsibilities, Gene? What does that mean, official artist?
Okay, what I'm going to do with the help of the San Diego Padres is create a painting with 22 All-Star players in it that played for the Padres, including Ted Williams. And Ted Williams and Tony Gwynn is the centerpiece, and also the four stadiums that is known as Padre Stadiums from the beginning when they had the AAA team here.
Let's name them Elaine Field, and of course—
And then Westgate Park.
Westgate Park, and then of course San Diego Jack Murphy Stadium. Mm-hmm.
And now Petco.
And now Petco. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. All right.
What's going to happen is they're going to auction this off. The Padres will choose a charity and auction this off for a charity. Nice. It's something that Major League Baseball has been doing for a while. They pick an artist in each city and they create a painting, and then they use it as a charity offering to, go back in, like a way of doing something back to the community.
So, Gene, when are you going to be down at FanFest? What days are you going to be down there? When can people find
you? I'll be there from Thursday until Tuesday.
All right. Now, give us about your artist background. When did you pick up that skill and talent?
Well, the funny thing is when I was 7 years old, and I can tell you I remember the exact time when I said I want to be an artist, and I also said that I want to be a baseball player. Mm-hmm. And so... of course, from then, when I sort of made that statement to myself, then I started working on both of those talents. And it is, I mean, of course, you have to have a talent to become what you want in life first. It doesn't matter what that may be. You still have to have talent. And so from then on, my mom and dad was well enough to financially, when I was in high school, I took correspondence courses because there wasn't any way to receive any kind of formal training in the area from school or anything else. So that's what really got me started on the professional level.
So you really have been painting almost longer than you've been playing baseball, really?
Yes.
And did you paint on the side, like in the off season when you were a major league or minor league player?
Oh, yeah. What I would do is a lot of times during the daytime I would paint, and it was really, I found it to be very helpful as far as concentration. Mm. It was like a relaxing thing for me, and also get your concentration going. So when you got to the ballpark, boom, you were ready to go.
It's therapy.
Very good. Yeah, good therapy.
I've got a number of pieces in my house painted by Gene Locklear, I'm proud to say.
Well, a lot of, Frank Sinatra, Tony Bennett, even former President Bush, they've all gotten into painting.
Yeah.
I guess it is a form of therapy for them. So
it's a great way of learning the inner part of yourself and expressing yourself. It really is.
So when you made a decision to retire, you said, well, therefore, I'm now going to make a living as a painter?
And that's what I've done, guys, ever since I finished playing.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
How about schools? Do you do any outreach to schools and help kids get involved with painting? Maybe that's something we could think about or help with.
Well, that's something I've tried to do, but haven't been too successful. Mm-hmm. I do a lot of speaking engagements to a lot of the Native American tribes in California, actually all over California, with the kids, as far as art and baseball, but as far as teaching it any particular location or anything, no, I haven't been.
Mm-hmm. Do you do any baseball clinics on any of these sojourns?
I have, yes, I have. Uh-huh. But not that many, but I have, yeah. What? All the way up to Washington, D.C., to all the way out to Milwaukee, some of the different tribes.
Well, how about we help set up, I'm sure you've done some exhibits or exhibitions somewhere, right, with Richard, maybe we can help with that.
Well, Gene was featured down at Deborah Zakei's museum.
Okay, the New Americans, plural.
New Americans Museum down at Liberty Station. That was, I think, last year, right?
Mm-hmm. Yes.
And then I know if you spend the night at the U.S. Grant Hotel in downtown San Diego in the lovely gas lamp, what do you see on the walls there?
Yep, they have approximately 30-some pieces of mine.
Nice. Yeah. You know what? We should prevail upon La Valencia also, because they're doing some photo exhibits there from time to time up in their gallery. So we'll talk about that. That might be well worth pursuing. So. Mm-hmm. So you'll be down at, where is the Fan Fest this year? Where are they holding this? This is in the convention center?
Yes.
Right? Okay.
Mm-hmm. Right across from Petco at the convention center.
Outstanding. Now, Native Americans in baseball, there's Jim Thorpe, there's you. Are there any other active or past players that we know of?
Javalt, what's his name, the center fielder for the Yankees, Navajo?
Jacoby Ellsbury.
Yeah, he's the most well-known and probably the most well-respected. Besides Jim Thorpe, I would think that ever played in the major leagues as far as Native Americans, very, very good baseball player.
And, of course, there's some might have, an ethnic mix in there. You could be multiracial, right, or multi-ethnic as well. So
there's only one Native American in the Hall of Fame, left-hand pitcher, that used to pitch for the New York Yankees.
Mm-hmm. I found this out the other day. We have got a native-born German player right now in the Major League Baseball. Can you name him? And this guy's got the carbon copy of Chris Bryant. I think he's going to be a big major star.
No, who is that?
Max Kepler, Minnesota Twins.
Oh, that's right, the guy with the Twins. He had like seven RBIs one
year. Oh, my God, the other day he went off. I think he hit like 300. But he's going to be a great player. But born in Berlin, born in Germany, for gosh sakes.
Really?
So baseball, of course, we've had Asian players. I mean, it really is. I don't think there's any other pro sport that has a multi-ethnic mix like baseball, right? I mean, basketball might be a close second, but...
soccer, maybe?
Yeah, maybe soccer.
But I'm just saying, soccer's coming on.
I noticed Padres are signing a bunch of international players. They're all 19 years old, so...
But, I mean, think about it. We've got African-Americans, we've got, Latin Americans, we've got Asians, and we've got Europeans. I mean, that pretty much covers it. What's left? I don't know.
So, Gene, what's your most favorite painting or portrait you've ever done? Who is it of, if you have one?
I do not have one. Okay. Some of my most favorite paintings, I was the Super Bowl artist, and we did a set of limited edition prints, and this was in, I think, 86, and Dallas Cowboys won. In one of those games, they beat Buffalo, or one of those Super Bowls, they beat Buffalo. And so what they did is when they went to the White House, every player and every coach and everything signed one of the limited edition prints, and that was one of the three gifts that they gave the president. And that particular piece hung in the bowling alley. I don't know if you knew that
the White House has a
bowling alley. Yeah. And one day I was sitting in my easel, and this lady comes on the phone, and she goes, "Mr. Locklear, yes, this is the White House calling." And I go, "Yes, where are you from?" "North Carolina." And because I figured it was one of my friends in North Carolina. And she said, no, I'm serious. And so she wanted to know the real value of the piece and all that, and she wanted the history of it because she was in charge of the archives there and all that.
Fantastic.
But you do Western art, right?
Yes.
And now I've noticed at your studio you're doing some abstract.
Well, it's semi-abstract Native American. In other words, what I'm doing is the abstract with the colors and all that, and then I throw in a subject matter that is definitely Native American, and if you look real close and do a study of the piece, you can recognize it as being definitely a Native American theme.
And we got about less than a minute. Can you tell us?
Less than a minute. A funny Buzzy Bavese story.
I was going to say.
Yeah, please.
Real quick, the last time you saw Buzzy, tell us.
Buzzy, I saw Buzzy in a restaurant, and I sit down and I look, and there's Buzzy, his wife, and his Peter's wife. Mm-hmm. And so I go, I just gotta. So I get up and I go over and I shake his hand and I shake Buzzy's wife and all that. And then right up, Peter's wife go, "You're still my son's favorite player." And I go, "What happened? Why doesn't he buy a team so I can play?" And then I looked over at Buzzy, and he's like, "He still hasn't said anything." I said, Buzzy, you look real good, real good. So anyway, I talked a little bit, and we get in that, and I leave and sit down. So before he leaves, he comes by the table, and he goes, "Too bad you're not playing today, kid. You'd be making a lot of money." And I said, "Yeah, I could have made a lot of money in the older days, too."
What a schmuck. Anyway, we'll leave it with that. Gene Locklear, thanks so much for being our guest. We'll come right back with David Meltzer, Sports Marketing Mall. More about the All-Star Game. Hang on.